Hello, everyone, and welcome in once again for another episode of Orlando Magic Live, truly live this time, as we are broadcasting an hour before the Orlando Magic actually play a game. I'm joined, as always, by Orlando Pinstripe Post editor Zach Oliver. Zach, are you ready for game time on a Thursday?
I don't know what to do with my hands, but they're not on TNT, so does it really matter?
If an NBA game is on Thursday and it's not on TNT, did it really happen? Well, according to Fox Sports Florida, they do happen, as Magic television ratings have been up by about 52%. What they said, and so yeah, a lot is going on with the Magic. A lot of good things. The last time we spoke, the Magic made the big lineup change. They won a game. Now they've won three more games. What do we make of this team now? First four-game winning streak since December 2012. They ended up losing the next 10, but we'll forget that for now. And two games over 500 since Dwight Howard was here. I'll out myself. Since Dwight Howard was here, what do we make of this team and the winning streak they're on right now?
I mean, I think we're seeing some improvement, but at the same time, I don't know if it's sustainable. I mean, they're playing at such a high level on both ends, and I think you made this comment to me. I can't remember if it was Friday or Sunday at the game, that this lineup change really lit a fire under them and showed them the Skiles isn't afraid to go and make a big move, and that sooner than later it's going to break and something's going to go amiss. I think that, you know, the success is good and they need it, but they can't get too far over their heads because it's still only four games. And to be completely honest, they're playing teams that are going to be fighting for the 7-8 seeds at currently in their conferences, or probably not even going to make the playoffs in Minnesota's case. So if they go out and they, you know, drop kick the Clippers on Saturday, then we might be able to start talking about actual, you know, sustainability and real long-term success.
Yeah, I would say, you know, what was it? Scott Skiles said this, I think, after Sunday's game. You know, the NBA season is a whole bunch of ups and downs. There's obviously moments where your team is playing really, really well and moments that your team is playing really, really poorly. And Skiles said it, you know, we're on an up right now. We're playing really well. We're playing at a high level. You know, we're doing a lot of things. We're getting the buy-in that we want. I agree. I said it, but I agree there. The lineup change did seem to set a spark. You know, there's Oladipo has been playing out of his mind. He's been playing like he did the last 2 years, which I think was part of the intention in freeing him up with that second unit. And he's brought that over to the clutch lineups to close some of these games lately. But the Magic right now are on a high, and they're playing really well. And, you know, they're going to keep this momentum going for as long as they can. But at some point, yes, you're right, they're going to hit a wall. And they might have hit it Tuesday night against Minnesota. It's going to be really interesting to see how they react tonight against Utah. I'm recording this on Thursday if you're listening on the podcast, if you happen to listening on the podcast rather than watching live. But how they play tonight after blowing a 17-point lead, needing to really come together and win, is going to be really interesting to see. Because, yes, there's going to be some hard times. They're not going to go 78 and or however many, they're not going to go they're not going to lose just eight games this season. They're going to lose games the rest of the way. I can't
so
do that
you're
right
saying
now.
They're not going to go 74-8.
Yes, I think that adds up to 82. They're not going to go 74-8. They're going to lose a game here somewhere. It could be tonight. You know, Utah's still a pretty good team. It could be Saturday against the Clippers. You know, it could be at any point. This is still a team that's still learning how to play, and frankly, they're still not a great offensive team. But I will say this about the Magic and the way that they've played lately. They've got that buy-in right now. They're playing so much better than they did last year. I think, you know, Josh Robbins of the Orlando Sentinel said this in his recap of Tuesday's game. They all said, you know, this is a game we lose last year. You know, we lose a 17-point lead, we fold. And we've seen that numerous times throughout the season where the Magic, you know, either gave up a lead or gave up a run And, you know, I think you and I both kind of turned to each other and would say, this were last year's team, they'd be done. So, you know, in looking for signs of progress, you know, is this team really, you know, projecting out a 42-40 team, you know, finishing two games over 500? I don't know yet. I think we're still figuring that out. Now, the question is going to be, can they consistently, you know, get better as things go on? Can they regroup again when they have a loss, when they have a setback? Those are going to be the questions. For those viewing, if you want to, please drop a question in the Q&A. But, Zach, my question for you is, what has really been the difference when you look at this team in the last week? What's been the difference? Has it just been that fire that they've had that Scott Skiles has brought to this team? Is it something schematic that they've changed? What's been the big difference with the way this team has played? Have things just started to click?
I think it's a little bit of a mix of all of it, to be completely honest. I think that the lineup change really lit a fire under them, but you know, schematically, putting Channing Frye out there has opened up so much for everyone because the floor is just so much more open. We've seen Elfrid Payton look like, to be completely honest, completely different player. You know, he had a poor shooting night against the Celtics on a Sunday night, but other than that, he's gone 6 of 12, 10 of 12, 6 of 13 from the field, scored in double figures in three of those games. I mean, he's look like a completely different player out there. So I think that plus we're starting to see a little bit more balance, which is what Skiles said that he really wanted with this move. Because the bench before, look, it was great if they were giving you, what, 25, 30 points a night. Now they're getting you, you know, they can get you 40 points a night, 40, 45 points sometimes, you know, depending on how Andrew Nicholson plays, who has seemingly resurrected his career from the YMCA. I mean, it's crazy how much one season, I mean, not even one season, what, 6 months with Scott Skiles has done for him?
I mean, to me, the biggest change has been the defense of guys like Channing Frye and Andrew Nicholson.
Yeah.
You know, it's been very well chronicled on our site, on my site, on your site, you know, everywhere. You look at the numbers, Channing Frye and Nikola Vucevic together was terrible last year. It didn't work. And
that happened.
It happened. And it was a huge risk looking at those numbers to put Frye back in there with Vucevic and say, is this really going to be different? Because it's again, I've said this, you know, the whole time, you know, the whole season so far, this is virtually the same team as last year. This is virtually the same group that won 25 games last year. And right now they're sitting at 10-8 feeling really good about themselves, doing something that they haven't, that this group has never done before. So, you know, you look at the way Frye has played defensively and even the way Nicholson's played defensively. If you look at Nicholson's offensive numbers, he had the big game last Monday against Cleveland and he had the big game Tuesday against the Timberwolves. But you look at his offensive numbers, they're still not great. He's still not shooting a fantastic percentage for someone taking a lot of shots around the rim. That hook shot's still kind of hit or miss. But he's made up for that on the defensive end. He's in the right position. He keeps vertical. He doesn't foul a lot. You know, I think what Skiles' defensive scheme has done is, you know, he's given them a thought process. He's given them something very simple to do, and there are ways to exploit it. I think we're still seeing them dig in and collapse the paint a little bit too much. There's still a lot of weak side rotation three-pointers that a lot of teams get, and if they make those, I think that's the shot the Magic are willing to live with at this point. But overall, the Magic are rotating really cleanly. They're in rhythm defensively. Like I think just like you can be in rhythm offensively, they're in rhythm defensively, and that's been the biggest key, I think, for this team taking this step forward that they've taken. Is the defense has just kicked it up a notch. Like they are, you know, they're ranked a top 10 defense in the league. And I don't think that should go without saying going from 20, you know, from bottom five to top 10 is just an incredible transformation. And now they're seeing the results that come with that. Will the offense keep going? That's my big question, because this is still not a team that can generate a lot of offense consistently. They're still a team that struggles in the half court on offense. And of course the same issues that we've talked about for the last month, finishing at the rim, doing all those little things.
Yeah, and you know, I I tend to agree with you with, you know, them finding that rhythm defensively. I mean, they're just completely different, and I think we all really expected that, to be completely honest. I mean, we knew that Skiles was going to come in and hammer home defense, but I don't know if any of us could really have predicted that it would improve this much this quickly, because to be completely honest, their defense won them that game against the Timberwolves on Tuesday night.
Yeah.
I mean, it was really good down the stretch. And I don't remember if I texted you or if I hit you on G-Chat with this after the game. That final possession by Aaron Gordon was some of the best one-on-one defense that I think we've seen from anyone on this team since probably Dwight left.
Yeah, I'm beginning to think, where does that rank as far as individual perimeter defense? The Magic, I mean, he's a weapon. Like I don't know about you, but the Magic are up three with what, 6-7 seconds to play. I've got just about everyone on my Twitter mentions saying foul immediately, and I am less inclined to do that. I think it is usually the right decision. I'm not against it. I'm more inclined to say, especially in the regular season, show me what you got defense. Show me that you can protect this lead. Contest a three-pointer. I think that showed incredible confidence in Aaron not to foul, and we're seeing, I think, Aaron's confidence grow. I think his scoring's been bumping up a little bit. Again, the issue with him is his more team defense staying within the scheme, but you know, he's obviously an incredible weapon. And yeah, I agree. That was some of the best one-on-one defense that I've seen, you know, doing that to Wiggins, a guy who can, you know, score pretty easily against a lot of really good players, even at his age and his stage of development. To do that was really incredible and was really emblematic of the whole game. I mean, I think what that game on Tuesday really showed me was that they were going to use defense as their backbone. The offense wasn't always there. I think Mario Elie said at halftime, you know, we feel like we should be up more. Our offense isn't quite getting us there, but that defense made a 13-point lead feel like 15, 16 points, made it feel like, you know, the Magic are just waiting to make their run to take this game over. And I think there's still some focus issues, you know, with defense, you know, with a young team, you know, you got to see the ball go into the hoop sometimes to really make defense right. Your backbone. But, you know, when they needed the stops, they got the stops that they wanted. We got a topical question here from Zach Palmer.
No, Zach, go away. We don't
Come
like
on,
you here.
Play nice. Play nice. Play
it's,
nice.
It's lit.
It is very lit. Zach asks, speaking of Aaron Gordon, do we think that we'll see more playing time when guys like Melo and LeBron are going off? We saw the defense collapse against the Cavs because Orlando was forced to double LeBron. Do you think Aaron Gordon can be the Magic's designated stopper?
I think so. I mean, I don't want to say that he has this in him, but maybe he could be like a Stacey Augmon type that was more athletic. I mean, I'm going back looking at the Plastic Man, but you know, Gordon's defense has been really good individually this season, like you said, but you know, the team aspect is still an issue, but I think that we're going to slowly start seeing him get on the court a little bit more, especially in those late game situations, because of his versatility, along especially with Tobias Harris, because they're so interchangeable, and Aaron's offensive game is finally starting to slowly come around. And I think that the big thing is we have to remember this is a kid who missed half of his rookie season with a broken foot. So he's still getting acclimated to the NBA speed.
And not only missed half his rookie season with a broken foot, he missed his first and he most for, missed most of his first NBA offseason with a, you know, broken jaw.
Yeah. So he's been forced to play catch up.
For sure.
I think that we're finally starting to see it all really click for Aaron, because we know it. Like, we see the flashes that he has. You know, obviously the athleticism is what's most tantalizing about him, but he's a lot more confident with that jumper. He can handle the ball some, and his defense is really starting to speak for itself. So yeah, I think that we could see him get more time against LeBron or Melo or Kevin Durant later in the season. But again, I think part of it is also going to be situational.
Yeah, I think it's very possible that, you know, should you know, Carmelo Anthony or LeBron James go off, you know, Gordon's going to be the guy the Magic put on. I think honestly, we saw it last night. We saw this kind of exact situation last night. One possession, the Magic are able to sub in their defenders. Gordon's guarding Andrew Wiggins, so there's obviously a lot of trust in him on one-on-one defense. I think what, you know, this whole question about Aaron Gordon leads into is kind of what we were thinking at the beginning of the season. Like, Gordon, one of the big things that we deal with, or at least I know I deal with Magic fans wondering about the rotation, wondering about players like Aaron Gordon, is the Magic drafted him fourth overall, so obviously they believe there's a future in him. So the question kind of goes back to what we talked about at the beginning of the season with, it, you know, is that starting power forward spot, is that like last core five starting spot, is that destined for Aaron Gordon? And when is he going to be ready to take that spot? And obviously Channing Frye does a lot by spreading the floor, so I don't quite think Gordon's going to get there. But the question I think really is, when is Gordon going to be ready for starters' minutes, so to speak? I think he's getting there quicker than we realize. Obviously, Skiles isn't afraid to bench anybody that you know needs to be benched. He plays the best players at the end of the games, so it's all always kind of fluid. But what do you think of Gordon's progress as far as kind of getting to where we kind of realize him to be?
Yeah, I think that he's getting closer to being ready. You know, I know both of us had a lot of people ask, well, why isn't Aaron starting when Scott Skiles went with the lineup change? And I know, at least on my end, the answer was, at the time, what Channing Frye brings to the team currently is more important than what Aaron does. You know, in the long term, it's Aaron, obviously. You know, but Aaron still needs to work on developing that three-point shot a little bit more and becoming more consistent offensively. You know, I touched on a little bit before, Channing just opens so much up for everybody that they really need that right now. I think that Aaron could start at some point this season, you know, especially if they go on one of those, you know, 4, 5, 6 game losing streaks and Skiles says, okay, we need to do something, and Aaron's really showing that progress, that's when we might, you know, see him. You know, maybe we even see at that point Oladipo moves back into the starting lineup if he hasn't already. You know, that's the good thing that this team has. You know, if things start going south, they have a lot of versatility with the players that they have. You know, they've been having all of this success without what I still think is going to be a very important part of their bench moving forward, in CJ Watson too. So
yeah. And his absence has forced Shabazz Napier into the lineup more. And Shabazz, in fairness, has played pretty well, a lot better than I think a lot of us expected, but there's definitely some holes with him. And it's even forced Victor Oladipo to play some point guard when I don't think the team is completely comfortable with him doing that as much anymore.
Yeah, I think it's worked enough. You know, I've been slightly critical of Shabazz because, you know, he can hit that three-pointer, but he still makes a lot of mistakes out there. You know, sure, that's something that you're going to see from a second-year guy, but still, he's an older second-year guy because he was at UConn for all 4 years. He won 2 championships, you know. You want to see some smarter play out of a guy who, while still only being, you know, a ripe young buck in the NBA, is kind of, in a way, a veteran based on his age.
He's certainly closer. Like, you know, we talk about upside guys, like Aaron Gordon's an upside guy. Shabazz is certainly closer to what he's going to be as a NBA player. And you know, again, I think for most of us, Shabazz has played better than we expected. I mean, I don't think we expected him to contribute as much as he has, to be as consistent as he has on both ends of the floor. I mean, and the Magic need shooting. So, I really like pairing him and Oladipo up, just like I really like pairing Tobias and Aaron up because of that versatility, because they kind of fill each other's holes and gaps a little bit. But yeah, I still think the end game is Aaron's going to be starting. It's just, it's, right. again, whether he's ready, whether it fits what the team is. And, you know, I've talked about this in a few areas already this year. This season really feels like it's about figuring out who these players are and how the pieces fit, and seeing them do that in an environment that is expecting victory a little bit more. And so that's, you know, that's going to cause some friction with some lineups, as we're seeing, because the team's driving for victories. And we all kind of knew this entering in, that the pieces don't completely fit. You know, there was always that sense that, you know, that this team was pretty good, had a lot of good young talent, but no one was quite sure how it fit. And so we are seeing some of that stress, I think, still. You know, a lot of our preseason expectations are still present and still coming true in many ways.
Right. And we were talking about this as a group before. It was either Friday or Sunday night, you know, and this is something that you and me both agree on. This season is what last season needed to be for this team. This is when you're really figuring out who is actually going to be here, you know, past this season and next season, and who's the guy that you're going to end up trading. And I know that somebody else had mentioned a couple of names for guys who could stay, which, you know, I think it, there's a lot to still be figured out. I don't think you can really gauge much off of, what, 18 games?
No, it's still a small sample size, but we're nearing the quarter pole of the season. So I think we'll start seeing stats are starting to normalize. We're starting, you know, teams are starting to carve their identities out and kind of settle in into standings. I'm not sure what the number is, but the variability in the standings, it really would surprise you how little change there is in the standings from, I think, Christmas to the end of the season. So the fact that the Magic have gotten out to such a good start that they're, you know, kind of hanging around, you know, they're above 500, they're, you know, staying above water, as they all said on Sunday. They're in the playoff race. At this juncture of the season is a really good sign. I mean, it's kind of like a golf tournament. You can't win the golf tournament on Thursday, but you can certainly lose it. And for the last few years, the Magic have kind of lost it in that first quarter of the season, and now they're right there. You know, they're right where they want to be in that conversation. They just got to sustain it and keep it. Got a few minutes before actual Magic Live starts on Fox Sports Florida, and we get set for tonight's game against the Utah Jazz. What concerns do you have about this Magic team moving forward? You know, you hinted at it. You kind of said it, that, you know, there is some, there's still that other shoe to drop. What concerns you about this team that could cause that shoe to drop, you know, maybe even tonight?
I still think that, I mean, obviously the offense is an issue, because they could have a game where they go out and are just cold. I mean, they could shoot 34% and get beat by 30 on any given night, to be completely honest. And, you know, your defense can only do so much.
I mean, you hope you're not that kind of team where your defense completely abandons you. Like, I don't know if the Magic will ever, like, they're holding teams, right. You know, they're consistently holding teams to low 90s. So you got to assume that they'll score enough. But, you know, I don't think we'll see, I agree, I don't think we'll see, like, Grizzlies type, you know, 85, 83 games. But, you know, I still think their defense is going to keep them in a lot of games. Like, if they get beat, it's going to be because they get drawn into a shootout.
I would tend to agree with that. I think we saw that earlier in the season when they lost to Oklahoma City. They got drawn into a shootout because Russell Westbrook decided to turn into Russell Westbrook in the second half.
Yeah, and the Cavs, speaking back to the other blowout, you know, I guess the Oklahoma City game wasn't a blowout, but the one blowout that the Magic had this season, Cleveland just kind of lazily picked them apart, but the Magic still shot the ball pretty well that game. That game was more of a failure in the defense. So I mean, honestly, I think if the Magic have any problems, it's that they'll sometimes, you know, their defense isn't quite their backbone yet. It's getting there. It's getting there, and they play it really well. But there are moments where it slips, and those are the moments that you worry about this team.
Yeah, and I think that there's still a little bit of tense nature with that team in the locker room. You know, they're winning games, but you get the sense talking to some of the guys that, you know, they're not too pleased with some of the things that have happened, or, you know, they're starting to push away from the media or what have you. And you made this comment to me walking out on Sunday night, I believe. You were kind of starting to see how Skiles' teams kind of start pushing away from him. So
yeah. And
I think that's the big thing that we need to worry about is if we're already starting to see those signs 19 games in. I mean, it could turn into a catastrophe really quickly, and if that happens, then, you know, you're going to start seeing the team look to make a move to shake things up, because they're not going to fire Scott Skiles 45 games into his first season, because what he's done in the first nearly quarter is already, I think, more important than if the team completely falls apart, because they're finally starting to turn that corner. And they're not a team right now with Skiles and how they're playing that's going to go and lose, you know, 10 in a row.
I don't think they will, but I think, you know, when that 10-game losing streak happens, that's going to be when we know the Scott Skiles thing is over.
And there's going to be people lined up in my front door with pitchforks and fire.
Yeah, but, like, I mean, the thing is, though, like, you know, and this is not to – I mean, every coach knows the day he gets fired is coming. Like, every coach knows this at this point. But at the same time, this is what we expected when they hired Skiles. I mean, it feels maybe a little truncated, and certainly you kind of know what you get when you made this decision to hire him in a lot of ways. Knowing that he's going to drive teams hard, he's going to push to win over development in some ways, and he might, you know, tick off a few people. And frankly, you know, ticking off a few people right now on the Magic roster might be a good thing, because they're trying to figure out who they are as a team. And as Alex Martins always says, we're here to win championships. And, you know, I think most of us, you know, as talented as this group is, as good as they're playing now, you know, we don't expect this group to necessarily win, certainly not win a championship this year. No. I mean, a playoff berth would be really nice this year. Figuring out what this group's ceiling is as a unit is a tricky thing. And eventually the Magic are going to have to make some decisions on guys. I mean, we already see that coming up with Evan Fournier not getting an extension and now going to probably enter restricted free agency. Victor Oladipo coming off the bench. He is a starter. Everyone said it. You know, can he put his ego aside and say, I'm happy being a sixth man, or is he going to want to do and be a little bit more? You know, it's all fine now that they're winning. No one's going to complain now that they're winning. And this is, you know, we were talking before we came on live here. This is really the first type of sustained success anyone in this group has had. Now, Nikola Vucevic was a bench warmer on a playoff team, but since coming to Orlando, no one's had this kind of success before. And so they're going to have to learn how to deal with success, how to deal with pressure. And then when they lose a game, because like we said, they are going to lose a game at some point, how do they handle that? How do they bounce back from that? It is worth noting that the last time the Magic had a 4-game win streak, they lost their next 10. That can't happen. They gotta lose one game and then bounce right back and win the next one. That's going to be the big key, and that's what I'll be more interested to see as this West Coast trip continues and as the season continues as well.
Yeah, and both of us, you know, going into last week's podcast, we both said that, you know, that 3-game homestand, we're going to learn some about the team and, you know, possibly what we could expect on the West Coast trip. But this West Coast trip is when we really, you know, learn what this team is, because it's always a long trip. You know, they only play 5 games, so they didn't get that tough of a trip this time, and they got their easier games out of the way, kind of, you know,
they avoid
the flying death machine. But you know, we're still going to learn a lot about them in the next week, because they play 4 really important games, they need to keep that momentum up coming home, because their schedule isn't the easiest for the rest of the month, I don't believe. I don't have it memorized off the top of my head.
They're home for most of the end of December, like they usually are. But yeah, they play Cleveland. Their first home game after
first game back is Cleveland.
Cleveland, and then I think they go on the road again. So like I never understood that. You come home from a long road trip, you play one game at home, and then you're back out on the road. I know they get a few days off and a practice day, I think, but it never made sense to me. It just feels like you're still on the road trip. It's just add another two games to the road trip.
Yeah. Look, glancing at the schedule right now, after the Utah game tonight, Clippers Saturday, and then Denver, Phoenix next Tuesday and Wednesday, respectively. They come home for Cleveland. They're in Brooklyn. Then they have three straight at home against Charlotte, who's vastly improved, and
Star Wars night.
Yep, a contender. Then they have Portland on Hedo Turkoglu night.
Hedo night.
And then they have the Atlanta Hawks. And then they go to New York on a back-to-back. And then Houston.
There's going to be a few schedule losses. There's going to be a schedule loss in there at some point.
Houston, Miami, New Orleans, Brooklyn, all at home to head into the new year. So
definitely some winnable games. I mean, they can definitely – if they can get through this West Coast trip, get through that Cleveland game, there are – I mean, one thing that I think we hinted at but didn't really get into, like – you said like this West Coast trip isn't that tough, record-wise at least. But they're playing a lot of teams with similar records to them, and those are the games I think the Magic really have to win. We talked about it after they lost at Indiana, because we thought Indiana was a team that would also compete for those 7-8 seeds. Beating those three games at home were huge, and even Skiles had to acknowledge beating Milwaukee, New York, and Boston, all teams that they're going to fight for that playoff spot, was humongous for this team. Building confidence against teams you're going to be competing against is a big thing. Those are not bad wins by any sense. Like the Magic are not a team yet where I go into a game to say, you know, except for Philadelphia and, you know, possibly Brooklyn, I don't expect them to win every game. It's a toss up game, and the way you make the playoffs is you win more of those toss up games then you lose. And like Skiles said, it's simple math. You have a winning record every month, you're six games over 500, you make the playoffs. It can be as simple as that. So winning these games, the opponents may not be sexy, but they're still big wins. They're still quality wins.
Yeah. Cause you need to have those tiebreakers come the end of the season if you want to be a potential playoff team.
And especially at this stage, at this stage of the season, eliminating those teams, you know, kind of keeping those teams in free fall. Like Milwaukee's been struggling a lot, and they're, you know, kind of in free fall. Blowing them out, like had them asking questions about themselves. That's a big thing this early in the season, because, like I said, around Christmas is when the standings really stabilize, and you don't see a whole lot of change anymore.
And
so, you know, getting those teams, you know, pushing those teams down right now is critical. You know, helping yourself rise up, giving yourself a little bit of a cushion is a good thing.
And this was something that both of us talked about either last week or the week before, that they needed to have one of those games where they just went and blew somebody out. Like, we're clearly the better team the entire game. You know, they were probably the better team the entirety of the game Wednesday night against the Knicks, but the Knicks were able to keep it close because of an early fourth quarter run. They beat the doors off the Bucks. You know, some of that's the hot shooting that they had, but
Milwaukee, and they dominated Milwaukee the Celtics, like, for the most part, too.
Yeah. Boston made a little bit of a run in early in the fourth quarter, and we were sitting up in the media loge, and we were thinking, this is going to happen again, isn't it? And then they push it right back out to 21, 22, I believe, and Boston wasn't able to come back. So those were big wins, you know, standing wise, confidence wise, and just getting those wins in the manner that they did.
Yeah, absolutely. Those were big wins. Zach, Magic Live has started. I'm watching Dante Marcatelli on my TV over there. We want to make sure all the Magic fans get a chance to watch that, get set for tonight's game against the Utah Jazz. Zach, I won't ask you for a prediction, because people that don't watch this live will probably listen to this after the Magic Jazz game, and we don't want to look silly. Anything else you want to add before we close up shop here and get ready for some Magic basketball and hopefully a fifth straight win?
Well, we're going to look silly either way, probably. So
probably it's just best not to view us on YouTube after the fact.
Right. And yeah, my only thing is, don't make any puns like you did at the end of game, or you might actually have a pen fly through your apartment window tonight.
You do know where I live. I don't want anything to happen. I don't want anything to happen because the last time something came through not my window, but at least my apartment complex's window, there we had a bee infestation. So I will lay off the pun. I will lay off the puns tonight. I'll do my best to lay off the puns tonight. At least I will admit that pun I made about Elfrid Payton and Victor Oladipo's handshake was terrible.
No, it was a Victor terrible, and Mario.
Victor and Mario, sorry. That was a terrible pun. I enjoyed it though. I enjoyed it. The more terrible the pun, the more hilarious it is to the pun teller. For Zach Oliver of Orlando Pinstripe Post, this has been Philip Rossman-Reich of Orlando Magic Daily. Thank you, everyone who watched us live on Google Hangouts. You can catch us every Thursday. We do change the times up a little bit. We'll try and post them a little bit earlier along with the links as well. Thank you, everyone, for listening on the Orlando Magic Daily podcast as well, if you catch us not live on that. And enjoy tonight's Magic game, the Orlando Magic taking on the Utah Jazz. You probably knew that already, or you probably already watched it. For Zach, this is Philip. We'll catch you next week on Orlando Magic Live.